Greetings, my Christian friends. This is C. Ernest Tatum, your teacher, to say how happy we are to be together on this another occasion to consider our study of the Good News. Now today brings us to lesson number 10, and the title of today's lesson, you notice, is The Christian Light. This should be very, very interesting. I'm sure you've found it both interesting and instructive as you've gone over it before today. You notice that the lesson, first of all, explains the difference between our standing and our state. And it points out that the Christian standing depends on the work of Christ, and that's why it is perfect. However, his state depends upon his own walk, and that's why it's so often far from perfect. You see that sentence under the first section of our lesson? That's worth underlining in your textbook. This, I believe, needs to be thoroughly understood by every one of us. You see, it's the difference between our position and our condition. What we are before God and what we sometimes are before man. You see, our position before God is unalterable. And it depends upon what God thinks of Christ and his work upon the cross. Every believer, regardless of his conduct, every believer has been brought to God in all the perfections of Christ. But what about our life on earth? How do we answer to this position? Well, this, of course, brings us to our condition, our conduct, our behavior down here. Now, let me illustrate. Every person born in the United States of America automatically becomes a citizen. And citizenship is a position, then, that everyone born in this country enjoys. The baby that was born a few days ago in this country is as much a United States citizen as the child that's 6 years old or the man that's 60 years old. The man who's lived here, who has been born in this country, he is no more a citizen of the United States at 60 than the child who's born in this country and who's only 60 hours old. You see, the standing depends upon birth. But now, let us suppose we have 10 men, all citizens of the United States, all born in this country. They enjoy a standard of citizenship that does not differ one whit between them. But let us suppose that half of these men are men whose conduct doesn't reflect that citizenship. Supposing one of them is a violator of the law, as over against another one who's a very patriotic and loyal and law-abiding citizen. You see, the loyal, law-abiding citizen is no more a citizen, as such, than the same the person, his counterpart, who is very disloyal, perhaps, and who is given to riots and lawlessness. Now, the latter of these isn't living up to his citizenship. His conduct denies his standing. You see the difference? Take another example. Here are two married men. These two married men enjoy a common status. They are legally married, and the law recognizes them as such. One of them, however, is very, very devoted to his wife, very loyal and responsive to his family. The other man doesn't behave as a married man at all. Perhaps he violates all that conduct and that code of conduct that is called for by the marriage status. You see, their position differs nothing. They are both married, but their condition and their conduct, oh my, here is a contrast indeed. Now apply this to the Christian life. Every child of God has been brought to Him in the value of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ and is accepted in Him. But on the other hand, disobedience and carnality of life, that's another matter. His condition may be very, very, very low. And such brings the believer under the chastening hand of the Heavenly Father. Now, let me read the verse that's indicated in our lesson today in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 30 and 31. You'll find it referred to under the section Judicial Condemnation and Parental Discipline. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 30 reads like this: For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Now, we must always distinguish between God's condemnation of the world and the Father's discipline in the family. You see, the family of God is a distinct community from the ungodly, Christ-rejecting world around us. Once we belong to that Christ-rejecting world, and our relationship was the relationship of a sinner to God. But now that we've been born again, God has become our Father, and we've become His child. And we are now identified with the family of God. Now, God's condemnation of the world, His reckoning day for the ungodly, is future. God is not dealing with the ungodly today in judgment. He's dealing with the ungodly in grace and long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, as Peter puts it. But now, the born-again believer is in the family of God, and therefore we're subject to the Lord's chastening. I remember an old Christian gentleman saying one day something that I have never forgotten. He remarked that in the Old Testament there are two men, both of whom, it is written, he went out from the presence of the Lord. Those words should be in quotes. This man went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there are two men of whom this is written. The first man was Cain, and the second was Jonah. When Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, he seemed to prosper. But when Jonah went out from the presence of the Lord, he had a rough time in more ways than one. Now, why the difference? The answer? Cain was not a child of God. You see, when Cain went out from the presence of the Lord left him alone. The day of settlement for Cain lay in the future. But in the meantime, Cain seemed to prosper. He built a city and named it after his son and so on. But when Jonah went out from the presence of the Lord, my, I tell you, he was chastened again and again. You see, Jonah was a child of God, but a backslidden child of God. You see the difference? And Paul says by the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 31, if we should judge ourselves, then we should not be judged. In other words, if I as a Christian exercise self-judgment, and if I confess my sins to my Father, then I am assured by 1 John 1 and 9 that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, this is all spelled out in Hebrews chapter 12. Do you remember what it says in Hebrews chapter 12? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If we endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards or illegitimate, and not sons. And so, in this great monumental passage, in Hebrews chapter 12, and verses 5 through 11, the apostle explains that sometimes our Father has to discipline us when we become His naughty children. He had a sword for his son on the cross. He has no sword for his children, but he does have a rod. But even when he chideth, tender is his tone. None but he shall guide us. We are his alone. And so he wants us to walk worthily of the calling wherewith we are called. You see, he has called us to be identified with Christ. He has saved us in order that we might be Christ's representatives here in this world, so that men and women who cannot see God or Christ may see God or Christ and Christ in you and in me. This is why he said, ye are my witnesses. And in order that we might grow in grace and develop the Christian character, he has given us his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit resides within the believer as a divine enablement for all true Christian character. I think this is spelled out beautifully in Paul's letter to Titus. In the second chapter of Titus, verses 11, 12, and 13, we have a great passage on Christian living. May I read it? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Here we have salvation, education, and expectation. And it's very, very important to notice that the grace of God that has brought salvation to us is the same grace that teaches us. Teaches us what? It teaches us how to behave in this present world. It teaches us to say no, and it teaches us to say yes. Titus 2:12, listen again. The grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that's the saying of no. There are certain things to which you and I must say a resolute no. When sin and temptation and the movements and motions of the old life knock at our heart's door, we're to say, I'm sorry, no. We're to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Happy is the Christian who can say no, but then we have to say yes too, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now for a few questions. Can I clearly explain then the difference between the believer's standing and his state? Is my position before God affected if my spiritual conduct deteriorates? Whom does the Lord chasten and why? What or who is the power for living a life of Christian victory? Now be sure to review under the direction of your class leader this lesson number 10, and then look over lesson number 11 in view of our next session together. And God will bless you as you do so.